Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen. I miss you so much. Oh, my God. Did I text you too much?
No, we could have texted way more.
I was I want to FaceTime you right now. What are you doing? We usually go on vacations together. I'm unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been quite a week, quite a fun little week that I had. And I want to get to the happiness, but I feel like we have to talk about something real quick.
Yeah.
Because we're recording this kind of differently. We're recording this on Friday.
That's true.
Because I am once again going to be out of town for a lot of next week. So it's a little bit different schedule wise, but I don't mean to like start out with a bummer, but it just happened. Did you read that Anne Heche just passed away today?
No.
Yeah. It
what
just happened.
How?
She was in a car accident a few days ago. Yeah. Listen, I'm not going to cover any of the rumor. I'm going to say what happened. And that is that she drove her car into a house at fairly high speed. The car and the house both caught fire. I believe the house burned down. They got her out of the car and she was rushed to the hospital and she's been in critical condition and a coma and she just passed away like an hour ago.
Oh no.
Of course it's very, very sad. Like, she has two children, one of whom is a teenager, one of whom is 20. You know, Anne Heche, I have such a... I think like many members of the gay community, I've had quite a ride with her. You know, like, there was a moment, and personal life notwithstanding, there really was a moment when I kind of thought Anne Heche was like the next coming of Meryl. Like, I thought she was incredible. She was such an amazing actor. And, you know, it's weird to already be saying was, you know, when she went through whatever mental issues that she went through back in the day and seemed to have come out of it. And I don't know, ever fully PR-wise recovered from this sort of I'm a lesbian debacle, in which it turned out that she wasn't. She was just in a relationship with a woman. But I don't think that we were in a place at that time where people could say, like, well, I think I'm just pan or bi. I think that if there was that need to, like, commit to a sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad we're not there anymore. I'm glad there's more of a freedom now to kind of, like, explore your sexuality and not have to make such a, you know, specific statement. But, you know, I saw her on stage. I saw her when she took over for Proof back in the day, and she was fantastic. And it's just very sad. And I don't know when we'll get more answers. And I don't mean to say that, like, we need more answers, but I would like to know what happened there.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's so tragic and so shocking. So that's the thing that just happened that I kind of thought we should talk about.
Dang.
But we don't have to dwell on it. How has your week been? I haven't talked to you in over a week.
Horrible without you. I'm kidding. It was fine.
I'm barely hanging on.
Everyone's worried about me. No, it's been okay. You know, we went back to school this week.
You have. You're
holy
back to school. Okay.
Shiitake mushroom people. This is like, I feel like I'm sure a lot of parents, but it feels like they're going back to earlier and earlier. And I think part of it is due to like learning loss because of COVID and everything. But anyway, so yeah, August 8th, we went back, and which, by the way, is mine and my husband's wedding anniversary and my good friend Molly's birthday. Happy birthday, Molly. I love you. Who, by the way, at my wedding sang on her birthday, God bless. She's a perfect person and I love her so much. But anyway, yeah, so we haven't even, like, we were like high-fiving in the night, and he felt more, it's so cute. He actually felt more, I was of the mind of like, let's just pretend it's not happening and we'll pretend it's happening another day. And I kind of was like, he's like, happy anniversary. I'm like, oh yeah, happy anniversary. I feel like I was way more like kind of callous about it, I guess you could say, because I was like, I'm just not going there. This is, we are getting the kids away. And he kept trying to hug me, and I'm like, I love you too. I love you too. And I do. And we, you know, we will have our moment, and I, you know, have hugged him since, but, you know, and done a little more. But anywho, yeah, so it's just been like, you know, I have teary a lot because my little one is now in school. I'm happy he's in school, but it's a step, you know, it's just like weird. I hate that, like, we mourn them getting older. It's just because, you know, these moments are precious, of them being little and also very, very, very hard. Yeah, so it's just been an emotional, very full, very exciting, very tired kids, hungry, hangry, pissy little dicks. But, you know, it's been a good week otherwise.
Is he officially in kindergarten now?
He is in a transitional kindergarten.
Gotcha.
Which is essentially kindergarten. I don't really know. But it's basically like he is in this weird age group where he's too young to go to kindergarten. And
right.
He's really ready. I mean, the kid is And I'm not saying I did it, because I did not. I swear to God, I attribute it all to my daughter, who pretends plays school with him all the time. But he can like write his name. He knows all the sounds to the letters. He's four. Oh, wow. I mean, I think that happened. I think some 4-year-olds already. I also think a lot of second children are like, right. I want to be like them. And then they just like are really competitive. So,
yeah, because I know that from me, because my birthday is late August, I was the youngest. Like, I barely made the cut to start when I did. So I feel like your children are both going to be like the oldest.
They are. I think you probably would have been in transitional kindergarten if it existed back then.
It did not exist. So I went right to kindergarten. But when I was... guess I had just turned 5. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You're so mature, though, for your age.
Yeah, I was mature for my age. Yeah, I mean, I guess my whole week is just Fire Island. I wrote down some bullet points. I can kind of walk you through my
walk
experience.
Walk me through.
If you'd
tell
like.
Me all about it and save the nasty stuff from off camera. Or off.
Yeah, listen, I wish I had more nasty stuff. We'll get to that eventually. But we had booked this trip a bit ago, and I've definitely been looking forward to it. I will say, let's start off with the thing that I forgot to pack. That, because there's always that thing, right?
No,
there's always
didn't.
Like, oh, I forgot the thing. But here's the stupidest thing. So this is so dumb that I forgot to pack this. So what I decided to do was, I was like, this is going to be I'm so smart. I'm going to take my Soda Stream. Like, I'm going to take
fun.
So I'll just always have club soda. Like, I won't ever have to like run to the store.
I mean, I love that idea.
I was literally still on the island of Manhattan when it occurred to me that I had brought the entire Soda Stream except for the bottle into which you make the soda. Like, I hadn't brought like the plastic bottle that I was how on earth did I forget that? And I had no time. I had like 20 minutes that I was walking from 42nd, where I got cash out of the ATM, to 34th, where I was going to get on a train. And I went to like 3 different hardware stores along the way. There was not. Bed Bath & Beyond is what you want. Like, if there had been one of those, they have them. I was like Googling, like, because there's like a mini Target nearby, but they don't sell them there. You can only get them online. So it was so dumb. And I guess the thing that was the most annoying about it is that I had packed this contraption. Like, it took up a lot of space in my luggage, and I had this sort of struggle between I could just take one huge suitcase or I could take a smaller suitcase and like 2 other bags, but I won't have one bag on the way back because it's mostly booze. It was just so silly. And like, so I transported this whole thing out there, and it was, you know, it's fine. I just felt kind of ridiculous that I brought this thing that I then couldn't even use. Halfway smart. I was halfway smart. I was halfway intelligent, you know. And the house was very, very cute. It's really fun. Like, I've stayed at a house a couple of times, like, because someone else was staying there. But this was really one of those, like you had, like, a wooden door that you open, and there's, like, a little path through the woods that takes you to your house. And I'll send you some pictures. It was very cute. Yeah. It could use some updated signage. I will say that, like, the Wi-Fi password was not correct. Like, thankfully, we like found it listed somewhere else correctly. And just little things that I think maybe you don't think about. Like, we didn't know what any of the light switches did. We were like, well, this light switch seems to do nothing. And then realized later it was turning the light on, like, way back at the gate, which was good to know for when we were going out at night to, like, have, like, our beacon of hope, you know, to get us back there. So things like that. I'd also brought, it's so dumb, I have like a Brita attachment in my sink here, and it was old, like it was leaking and not working well. So I was like, well, I'm just going to get a whole new contraption and take it to Fire Island, and then I can put it on the sink there to use it first. Couldn't, because it was one of those weird sinks where like the faucet pulls out. And yeah, so also had taken this Brita thing for reason whatsoever.
You're not going to get hydrated at all on this trip, basically.
Here's the other funny thing. We just drank the water, because in general, New York water is actually pretty good.
I've always liked it.
Yeah. And then legitimately, our like second to last day in this house, I was looking in the fridge and I was like, what's this weird little button over here? It was a water dispenser in the fridge.
Front door.
That like dispensed like purified cold water.
Damn it.
But like, that's another thing that could use a label or a sign somewhere. Like, we had gotten there and you receive this check-in, like, here's all your stuff to check into the house. And it was like, the keys will be found on the table or in a drawer. Okay. So like 3 days in, we were like, oh, found the keys. Like, we just hadn't locked things the entire time.
And,
like, it feels pretty secure and safe. Like, I never was like nervous or
anything
like that. But it was, you never know. And then the pool was about as big as I thought it was going to be. You could literally do like a lap But not even, like, you would, like, swim, and then you were on the other side, and but it was still fun. Like, it's fun to have a pool and, like, yeah. go out. The pool light also never worked. Like, there's a, like, this, we kind of figured out where the light was, so it would be very dark. And, like, the grill out on the patio was in the furthest, like, darkest corner. God, so if you wanted to cook after, like, 8 p.m., we, like, had our phones out with the flashlight on going.
I think I saw a picture of that on
Yeah, you probably did, yeah. And then there was just so many spiders. I will say, like, I definitely had to, like, get over. There were spiders everywhere all the time, constantly. I one time had to get, there was one in the pool.
Nope.
And it was not small. And I had to like get it out. Like I had to like get a cup and like scoop it up and then like take it somewhere else. Like it literally I had done that and there was another crazy bug that was like swimming in the pool where I'm like,
oh,
what
my
kind of bug
God.
Is like lapping in my pool that I had to get out? And that same night I was then in the pool that I had like cleansed of all creatures. And I look over and I'm telling you, the biggest grasshopper I've ever seen is staring at me.
Jesus.
And I'm not like I'm not afraid of a grasshopper. Like it doesn't bother me. It like jumped into the pool at
Shut
me.
The f- no.
I'm like they're just coming for me now. It was yeah, it was interesting. I never got bit by anything, so my claim to
amazing.
Never be bit by a mosquito holds true. And even those Fire Island mosquitoes are aggressive, but I got through it fine.
Oh my God.
I will say the bed was very comfortable. I meant to look and see what kind it was, and I didn't. Like,
well, that is huge, mattress. At least.
I slept so well. I slept so well Good. Every night except for the last night because, and this is, I guess I could say this for the end, but like, our checkout was 9 o'clock in the morning.
No.
Which feels, that's very early, right? Like, that feels unnecessarily early for a checkout.
11. I'll allow
right.
11.
Even like a 10 something. Like yeah. 9 was a little bit, it was a bit much. And I do want to like shout out, like I didn't know either of the people. I mean, I knew Jesse. Like Jesse yeah. and I had gotten this house. It was his friends, Andrew and Ryan. And like, we were a very good match.
Good.
Like we all four, like it was a really nice
good.
Group. And like Andrew was only there for the first four nights because he had like, you know, he has like a real job that he had to get back to the city for. But like it was really, really fun. You know, I did not go to the underwear party. I just think that
it's okay.
I'm not at all putting myself down, but I think that I do better with a shirt of some kind. Like I just think that like that's more my strength. You know, like I want to have a top on of
Dude,
some kind.
That's okay.
I did, however, on Saturday night stay. I was the last man standing from our house on the dance floor. I was out
Yay!
Until like 3:30 in the morning. And that was very, very fun. I will also say so. For those that don't know really quickly, like there are two basic like gay communities on Fire Island, and one is Cherry Grove, and it's a little quieter. It's a little like people say it's like more like the lesbian side of things. I love Cherry Grove.
I do too.
I actually like that. Yeah. There are more restaurants there. It's a smaller space. What it doesn't have is dancing at night. And I don't know if that's an edict of the community, but the Pines, which is the other gay community, which is a little like younger, a little trendier, certainly a bit louder. They have this amazing space they built called the Pavilion, and that has dancing some nights. And there's like the Sip and Twirl is right next to it, which is also like a bar that has dancing, I guess, every night. And we paid the money to get into the Pavilion on dance night. And it was fun. Like it was a fun experience. I also then paid the next day because they were doing like this, like, it was very funny. They had like this musical theater night on Sunday. I wish that I had gone earlier, and I wish that I'd gone maybe a little bit more sober because I was kind of like,
oh, darn it,
ending my night when I got there. But the funniest thing of all of it is that it seemed as though kind of last minute, Jesse was like, well, I'm going to go to this musical theater thing. You guys don't have to, but I'm going to go check it out. When I got there, he was legitimately on stage participating in the Cell Block Tango. I was like, you weren't even going to come to this, and you're like six. I think that's who he was playing. Like, it was hilarious that I'm like, I guess good thing you came because you like had to get on stage and perform. Yeah, it was very hilarious. And, you know, like, I got to go in the ocean twice, and the ocean can be a little Yay. Bit treacherous on Fire Island, but it was good. Like, I had fun swimming, and, you know, I was very good with the sunblock, almost better than I wish I had been. Like, I didn't
Amazing.
Burn at all, but I kind of feel like I wouldn't have minded getting a little more color, but it's, you know, it's good. And we had, you know, two really nice, really expensive dinners out, both in Cherry Grove, because once again, that's kind of where, like, the nicer restaurants
yeah.
are. We spent some money, but it was great. Like, the food was amazing, and the locations are so beautiful. Yeah, and I will say that every single day, it was like, well, tomorrow's the stormy day, tomorrow's the day it's going to rain, and then it was beautiful. Like,
oh,
every,
wow.
like, we had the best, the most perfect, beautiful, like 80 something degree, barely cloudy weather until the final morning when it was a downpour.
Oh, God.
And of course, I had like left my swimsuits out to dry. So that didn't really work. And, you know, and then it was kind of a thing of like we had planned on going to get breakfast at this little spot where it's like literally counter service. You're like, yeah. I'll have the eggs and then they bring it in a box. But we couldn't sit outside and we were kind of like trying to like huddle to like get away from the rain. And so here's the other issue with, I don't know how many of these houses are run by this one company, but clearly a lot of them are a Thursday morning at 9 checkout. Oh. So the 10 o'clock ferry, I kid you not, I was like, we're not going to get on this ferry. Like there is no, like we were there first. We'd gotten there really early, but we were like huddled in the corner eating our food. And by the time that I realized there was a line, I don't want to exaggerate. There had to have been at least 100 people in this line.
Oh, Jesus.
Like it was, I was like, they're not, there's no way we're going to all get on. And it's a 10 o'clock ferry that gets you across by like 10:30. There are always vans there. It's only like a 5-minute ride to the train station, but the train is at 10:41. The end of the story is none of us made the train. Like we all got on the ferry. I guess they were not worried about capsizing. I was a little worried. God. The poor ferry was like, I think I can. Like it was doing its best to get us across. Yeah, we all, like, there weren't even vans there when we got there because clearly the vans had been like, we got to get back to the train station because a train was arriving. So, yeah, it was all fine. We all ended up on the 11:41 train. So it was like 30 minutes of hanging out. Not that big of a deal. You know, not like the most relaxing way to finish
but
a vacation.
Memorable.
But yeah, memorable. And it was fun. And, you know, I did have a really good time. I don't know if I would do it all the same again. Like, I don't know. I can't say that I wouldn't, but I don't know if I would. We have a lot to cover later on, so I want to get through. But, like, I also did have moments where I was just kind of like, am I old? Like, am I, you know, constant fear of flirting with a 22-year-old. Like, that's a real, like, constant fear of, like, because I just don't, I'm in this group and I'm like, everyone's having fun. And we're all, but I'm like, oh, I am probably a couple decades older than some of the guys that are in this room.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I did have those moments where I'm like, do I? Not that I don't belong here. Like there are people of all ages that are on Fire Island, but I definitely had moments where I was like, okay, well, this is going to be a different experience than it was for me 10, 15 years ago.
And
that's fine. It didn't bother me, but I did have moments where I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I don't know what my Fire Island experience is supposed to be at the age of 44, almost 45, you know?
I think whatever you want it to be. I was like, yeah. Find the group of people who maybe are into similar, I don't know, there should be clubs. There should be like...
yeah, there probably is. There probably, you know, there probably is a club. But anyway, I had a good time. It was very fun.
I'm so
you
glad.
Know, yeah. Glad to be back in my bed. But it was very comfortable there. So I was not... Did not have a bad time while I was there. It was a good time. I mean, I will say this for every vacation that I always want you to be there.
I know.
So
me too. I mean, I don't know, but I assume and I also agree. Yeah. But no, I would have, you know, we have to plan our trips and you get to have amazing times and I'm so excited for you to have amazing times. I only joke that.
It was fun. Yeah, it was very fun. Anyway. So good. What are you digging this week?
Okay.
Anything in particular you want to share with the world?
Mike, I was inspired by you because you did the not drinking thing, and I'm on day 5, and so I just will also say my skin is, I'm getting compliments. I was like, oh, this is what happens, boo. Okay, fine. But anyways, it feels good. Everything's great. But one of the hardest moments of my day is once the kids go to bed. That's when I want to have like my beautiful cocktail or my glass of wine or whatever it is. You know, that's usually like the moment. So those moments would be hard for me. But I started, what I'm digging is I started crocheting again.
Oh,
I used to do it when I was, you know, little. Both of my grandmas, my Armenian grandma and my grandma from Washington State, they both taught me how to crochet in different ways. So I never really knit. I never knit, but I always crocheted. So, and I'm telling you, I think I started at like 5 or 6, you know. But then, I didn't do it for like 30 years. And now I'm like, I need something idle hands kind of situation. I just looked up on YouTube and sort of retaught myself. And it's taken a couple days. But it has been such a good tool for me to, I don't even want to drink. Like, it has not even been hard. It's not like my body's like craving the alcohol. I'm craving the letdown or whatever it is, the
right.
And then the reward, you know, it's always like, did a really good job today. Now I get my drink. So that's been the thing. If anybody crochets or knits and you're trying to not drink at night, that's a great way to do it. I will just
all
say.
Right.
I'm really enjoying it, actually. And I can watch TV. I have to, like, look down and look up. But, like, so you might be annoyed with me when we're watching certain shows. But and there was a couple times where my husband was, like, looking at me, like, are you going to watch? I'm like, I am watching. But I'm also crocheting.
Crocheting.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's great. How about you? Anything you're particular? Do you have anything to dig?
I do. I really do. No, I every day on, and it's another album, and I feel like I maybe did these out of order because this one came out first, and I don't know why I didn't get it right away because I ended up loving her first one a couple years after the fact, and I feel like I'm a little more on track with this one, but I have been listening to Lizzo's special, her newer album. It's so good. It's so good, and I don't ever want to like compare artists, but last episode, I talked about Beyonce's newest album that very much feels like a movement. Like it feels like a piece. And it was funny that I was talking to our friend Annabelle about it. And she was sort of bringing up Lizzo's album and how like I should listen to that because it's also really good. But like, these are my words I'm going to say now. Like it is a little more manageable. Like it does feel like 12 songs. It feels like songs, like each one has its own specific story and its own specific style. It's also so like, it's so anthemic, like so many songs. And I'm like, this is a song that you want to like work out to.
Oh, fun.
This is a song that you like want to like have playing when, yeah, it's really, I really enjoyed it. Like it was kind of my workout album every single day that I worked out. I was like, all right, Lizzo's special. Let's put it on. And even the sort of like ballads, I'm like, nah, I can jump rope to this. So
I love
really
that.
Like I super duper am loving that album. It's really, really good. So
Mike, I just wanted to say I put my headphones on and was cleaning and listened to all of Beyonce's, and I really do enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't want to like compare the two in like a negative way. They're just very different creatures for me. There is something about Beyonce's that feels like this like work, and I don't mean that in a bad way, I mean in a good way. It's like this like like this whole like work of art that I've been listening to that a couple more times too.
I also think there's a couple songs and I can't think of which one that are fun to get down to, if you know what I mean. It's like something about Get on Top of You. I love it.
Yeah.
Let me get on top of you. And so I was like, I'm putting this on and come here. We're gonna have fun. Anyways, yeah. I love it. I want to listen to Lizzo's. Good. I'll also take your reco on that.
Yeah,
too.
Check it out. It's a really, really fun album. I enjoyed it a lot. And then my Do Without is very silly, it's a thing that, it's a thing that actually happens on Lizzo's album, but it happens on so many albums. And it's just a personal preference thing that I've decided to speak out against. What's up with the weird voice modifications? Like, I just think it's so weird. We're like, there's literally a moment, and there's a moment on Dua's other album that I listened to recently where like, it's almost like a chipmunk voice modification.
Really?
And like, I don't know why. Yeah. And I'm like, why do you want to sound like a chipmunk? Like why? It's just weird to me. Like, and it, once again, it's just a personal thing that I'm just at the point now where I'm like, I don't think we need to use this anymore.
Yeah.
It just feels very odd. That's all. It's very silly. But how about you? Anything you could do without this week?
Mine's a little bit heady, but let's go there. Mm-hmm. So one other first we had this week is my son. He has lots of energy, and he reminds me a little bit of me. And I was a nightmare at night. Like, I would get bursts of energy. You know, I have the hyperactive disorder fun thing. So I would just, like, and I would just be, like, spazzing out and, like, loud and thinking and laughing. And, I mean, I was always positive, but I was just, like, I had energy. So he's displaying all the signs. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get him in something. So he's always telling me he wants to do, like, some sort of a martial arts. So I decided, because I know I have friends from back home and like their son does the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, which is the Brazilian martial arts. And so there was one that's, you know, whatever. I got him in. We did an intro class. He was definitely the littlest one there, you know, and there was all the way up to like, I don't know how old the kids were, but probably 16, you know, but it was, they go 3 days a week, and the instructor was, you know, they're very serious. It's not, nobody's being like, hi, you get a participation, or like, this is, you know, they're teaching them how to use their bodies, how to rumble with people. And really, that's another thing. It's good for self-defense and respect and discipline. And they do get to run it out. It's not like they're so, you know, because if it was too disciplined, I guess I would not be into it. This is not what I'm not digging, or this is not what I could do without. So we're there. He's doing good. I'm actually kind of like weeping the entire time because I don't know what the hell's wrong with me. I just like, my baby's growing up. So I'm like watching. And then, you know, it's a lot of, okay, so what I could do without is my fear of like super, super hetero men. Okay.
Gotcha.
So, because like, okay, so I just like, I don't want Calvin, my son, to lose his like sweetness and sensitivity. And I don't think he will, but I don't think it's a very real fear. I need to like just be chill and get over it. But like, it was one of the kids' birthdays. And then, you know, like all the dads are a little like, I don't know how to explain it, but they're kind of like, yeah, hetero stuff. And anyways, one of the kids had a birthday and they brought in a police officer who does the day. He does the jujitsu during the day. And he was all like muscly and like very nice, very nice. But I got like kind of nervous and I'm like, are they going to, I don't know. But here's the thing. I talked to the guy. He was the nice, he was like, you should do the day adult jujitsu. It's really fun. But I like immediately get scared of like really hetero white police officers. But honestly, the whole thing, they came and did a little talk and they talked about, you know, respect and leadership. And yeah. And then the kids had cupcakes and it was a great experience, but I just get annoyed with myself that why do I go to a place of like fear immediately when I just am afraid that they're going to be like homophobic or somehow. I just don't want my kids to be assholes. And I don't, these right. people aren't displaying assholicness. It's just like, I need to not be afraid of people. That's all. Like, I need to be like, you're a human. I'm a human. Hello. You know, I can't just hang out with people who are like me all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I understand, though. I understand the fear of, like, you know, like, kids learn things. Children will listen, you know? Like, it's definitely a matter of, like, just having the knowledge that you are also an influence in your child's life, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and remembering that, like, you're probably the most important influence in your child's life.
That's true. And when if I saw anything, you know, like, if it was too much, I'd be like, you know, I mean, it was so cute because they, like, paired them up. Like, they did all this running around stuff, and then they paired them up with like partners that are sort of their same size. So there was like a little girl who was probably like 6 or something who was a partner. And they were doing just one move where they like sat on the other person and then grabbed their leg and then sort of like twisted off very lightly. No, but he didn't know what to do. He kind of just like laid there. He was so cute. I don't know. It's good to, honestly, it's also good for them to get used to putting hand, like if they needed to like get away from somebody or whatever. It's all good. I don't know. But that's where my brain went this week. And I was like, I really wish that I was more trusting.
I got you. That makes sense to me. I get that. So we have our big topic. Yeah. We have our big topic this week. It's our last two episodes. I will say that I do have a friend of mine. I went out to dinner last night. Well, it's funny. Like, Jesse and I clearly can't spend enough time with each other. So we went out to dinner last night with our friend Claire. And she was talking about how she used to watch So You Think You Can Dance and then she hasn't. So she's been like pausing us. So she's probably pausing. Claire, you should pause now, I guess.
Oh,
and then
because
she wants to watch it, which I totally get, but I'm like, just watch it. Just go watch it. Why isn't everyone watching it? It's so good. So because we have our last two episodes and we start out with reintroducing the top three. No opening number.
I know.
I do like that the top 12 are in the audience and we do establish that my prediction is not correct. We're going to have a top two. Like, we are going to eliminate someone this episode and only have two in the finale.
I was bummed.
JoJo got braids.
JoJo. I'm a little over JoJo this episode. I'm like, just shut up, JoJo.
And you know, Twitch auditioned 15 years ago. I also do love the fact that my computer fully just recognizes the spelling of his name with a lowercase t and an uppercase w.
Wow. Like,
does not think it's weird at all. Yeah. Yeah, and we start with Keaton and Alexis doing Bollywood. And, you know, like, these cultural dances do make me a little bit nervous. So I'm always a little bit like, are we? But, you know, they do a really good job. And I feel like what I've tried to bring up about this show in the past is that what I feel like So You Think You Can Dance does so well is that it really is a celebration of dance.
Yeah.
And I don't watch like The Voice. I don't watch those. So I don't know if they celebrate the world of music and vocalization. I don't know if it's the same thing. Okay. But like, maybe that's what I love about this is that it's about dance. And yeah. So then we have Alexis and Essence doing contemporary, and it's Hero by Mariah Carey. And I feel like I can't hear this song and not think about going to a church dance when I was like 18 years old. And my then best friend and I, Katie, like it was like in a, what do they call them? Like a gymatorium where it's like a gym, but then there's a stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The curtains were closed and I was like crying backstage dancing because I like knew that I was in love with this guy that I could never tell. And I was just like, I was like, you're a hero. And I'm like, anyways, that's just a quick glimpse into Mike's psyche there. And it's a beautiful number. I can't believe they don't use the bridge. The bridge is the best part of that song and they don't use it, but it's fine. And it's, you know, it's kind of impossible to not see that Alexis is just the more trained dancer.
Of course. And yeah, because like she, yes, you're completely right. This is like, this put a spotlight on that for sure.
Yeah. Once again, Essence is amazing, but you just see Alexis and you're like, yeah, that's, you're really good.
Yeah. You're really good.
And then we get Essence and Robert Greene doing hip hop and it's that window washer dance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was fun. It was very high energy. I will say that, like Robert always knew where the camera was. Like, you would see him, like, he's like, hey, camera.
Yeah.
Hey, camera's over there now.
Yeah.
That's a skill. Like, that's definitely a skill, you know?
Seriously.
And I also think that it shows a certain level of just being comfortable on stage, which I don't think that Essence is quite there yet, that she still has to focus a little more on, which is totally fine, but it was something that stood out to me. And we do have a moment of JoJo saying that, like, you might feel like you have an empty tank, and you can have an empty tank in an hour.
Right.
And it's something that we've kind of brought up when we've noticed the dancers getting tired before. Mm-hmm. And I will say that I have felt that it was unfair on past seasons because oftentimes, because in the past, these episodes were like 2 hours long. And you would have dancers doing like five numbers.
Yeah.
And I would always think like, this feels unfair. Like, it feels like we're asking too much. But I do think that it highlights the dancers that are able to keep up and the dancers that aren't.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into kids today, but I do think that there's a certain amount of like, I'm tired, where like professional dancing is, you know, I struggle constantly with the American work ethic and whether we push ourselves too hard sometimes. But there is a thing about working in the arts, in the performing arts particularly, that like you do have to push yourself. So
yeah,
just the thing that I thought about in this moment.
Because I could see what JoJo means, because Essence was losing. Like, when my husband and I were watching, he's like, that Robert's out dancing her.
yeah, it's just true. Like, there's not really a way around it. And we get to Keaton and Audrey doing a contemporary dance with choreographed by Robert. And just like, all that I wrote was like the crazy raises. Like, there were some like lifts.
Oh yeah,
like, at one point, like lifts her, like he lifts her with his hands against her hands. Like, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. He's incredible.
Yeah. And then we get Alexis and Kiki doing an Argentinian tango. And when I was first watching this, I did watch this episode originally on Fire Island. And there were kind of like people in the room. And I was just saying that like the Argentinian tango is so hard.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily visually stunning. Like, it's not something that I think an audience watches and is like, wow, that was really hard. It just felt almost unfair that this was the number that she was given to do.
Yeah. You know, about tango in general, it's generally never choreographed. Remember, like, we went to our friend's wedding last year and she's an avid tangoer. And it's between the person you're dancing with. It's like you have to be in the moment and move like within, you know, that's why I don't like it, because I don't like getting close to people.
Yeah.
But I thought she looked super sexy. I mean,
she looked amazing and she was incredible, and Kiki's so hot.
Yeah.
But like, it felt unfair. It all works out in the end, you know, but it just felt like, you know. And then we have Essence and Keaton doing jazz. Essence is also a rapper, I wrote. Okay.
I know. I'm like, why did they put that in? I was like, is this song going to be her song?
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah.
Nope.
And then, you know, I did like sassy Keaton. Like, I enjoyed his flamboyant moments.
I loved it.
Like, that was I always say that, like, Channing Tatum is obviously like an aesthetically pleasing human being, and I've never been more attracted to him than in this video where he's voguing and he's kind of like putting on the sad. There's something about that like marriage of masculinity and femininity that I think is so attractive and like so like
because
interesting to
we
watch.
We are all both. Maybe that's why I'm afraid of all the heteros because it seems so put on. Why are you so?
It feels like a costume.
Yeah, just be a person.
And I like the point that is made of like when you dance with confidence, you make the audience feel safe.
For sure.
I think that that's just a thing in the arts in general. Yes. That like when you are confident in what you're doing, because we've all been to shows where we've had moments of like, I don't like it. I feel unsafe.
Oh my, I know. Yeah. Like this is why Mike hates improv.
I will watch Amy Poehler and Tina Fey do improv. Yeah. And I will watch you do improv. I will only go to those for you.
I'm sorry
though.
For that.
Oh, so many shows I went to.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then we saw also we said that like Essence hurt her knee, and I do have kind of a moment of like, you know, I don't know. That's kind of scary to me.
Yeah. Because you could do some serious damage. Like forever.
Absolutely.
Damage.
And it brings us to the end, and Keaton's the first to advance, and Alexis joins him. And I was so happy that Alexis made it to the top two. I think because she had been in the bottom a few times, I kind of had counted her out, even though she's been my favorite for episodes now.
Yeah.
I was so happy that her name was called, and we get a look back at Essence, and Essence is so excited and so happy, which makes it feel
and her
like makes it all feel
crying. Yeah. I was like sobbing at that point, you know.
Yeah. And you know, we had already established it. We're going to have a top 2 finale. We've never had a top 2 finale before, but here we are in our finale, and we do start with a group number, and I think that it's always so much fun when the cast comes back in the end and you're like, "Oh, look, it's you and you and I feel like I texted you like 2 minutes in. I'm like, I just started and I'm so full of joy, like it's just so joyous to me.
Yeah.
And he's not my type, like I'm not even into younger guys, but Tiago's so cute, like he's just so cute.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're just adorable.
Yeah.
And then like Leah's on stage and JoJo gets to dance, and now I'm just waiting for Twitch. I'm like, all right, I guess we're gonna have all the judges come out here. And it was fun, and Keaton and Alexis get their own little intro, and the group moment is so great, and it's Brian Friedman, who is such a great choreographer.
Wait, Mike, is this the next episode?
Yeah, so we're in the finale now. We've moved on.
I didn't watch it.
You haven't watched the finale?
No, I didn't realize it was... I'm sorry. We're going to have to do this one more week.
So we're going to pause on this.
I didn't watch...
Because Vanya doesn't know that there's already a winner that's been announced.
Oh, my God.
I know who the winner is, and you don't.
Oh, my God. Dang it. Okay. Oh, God. Okay.
So we're in a holding pattern
now.
Sorry.
I'm going to go watch it. I have to pick up my kids, but screw it. Screw them. No, I'm kidding. Oh, I really didn't realize.
That's so funny. I guess it's good that we stopped there. So I've told you the opening number.
I'm excited about it.
Well, there we go. So that, I mean, honestly, we are very short on time. So I guess this is a good place to pause.
Sorry.
We'll be back next week with the finale.
Shitballs, people. I'm sorry.
And there you go. I will keep my notes. Do you have anything random for us other than you randomly didn't watch the finale? So
I
you
cannot
can
believe it. Well, you know, I've been, here's the thing. I wouldn't be able to crochet because I need to focus when I watch that. So
true.
Okay, so I do have something random. It was a post on this person, Jedediah Jenkins, on Instagram, but it was a Cheryl Strayed quote from she was on Glennon Doyle's podcast. But so it is like 3 or 4 paragraphs, but I really felt like it's really important so I want to read it to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, so Cheryl Strayed says, "Don't let your dreams ruin your life." She means, yes, you might have a calling, a life dream, but a dream might also be a stepping stone to another dream. And many times our dreams are formed by life circumstances. What we knew at the time, period. My teenage dream was to be a movie director. Then I tried it and hated it. I had to change course because what I was seeking in directing wasn't the directing, but something wider, storytelling. But I couldn't have known that unless I tried. She also talks about the important work of surrendering to your own mediocrity. Wanting to write the great American novel is great and perhaps is the motivation you needed when you were younger to sit down and try. But if your dreams are predicated on mass celebration, you have hitched your future on chaos and chance. I agree with this completely. She says, maybe you won't write the great American novel, but you'll write something only you could write. I want to expand on this idea of mediocrity, though. I hear that word as half-assness. I think she says it to mean unextraordinary or mid-level populaire. But she also says that her mom was unremarkable to the public eye, and yet she loved her so deeply that Cheryl wrecked her 20s just to show the universe her mother's impact. It got me thinking about the idolatry of magnitude, the dream to shake the world, and yet the only guarantee we ever have is the influence we have on those around us. You cannot know how thousands of strangers will react to your art. You cannot truly feel the love of more than a community. Everything else is myth and concept, but you can make art for yourself and love your community. Become famous to your family, become a legend in your own life, and maybe you won't be written about in history books. Okay, fine. What person in a history book, long dead and dirt, gives a flying F-U-C-K what a book says? Did their life reverberate good love? Do your kids want to be like you? Will your friends whiskey slap each other at your funeral? I hope mine will. I hope I'm famous to the right people.
That's great.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's really nice.
I think about that a lot because I think about, you know, I had dreams when I was younger and I really, sometimes I beat myself up for, you know, pivoting.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I really love that. I hope so, that helps, or I hope that gives anybody out there some inspiration. And Mike, no, you're famous to me.
Thank you. I was going to say, it's a good thing for me to hear as well. My random fact is not all that interesting, except for I did get my deposit back on the house, and I'm very happy about that.
Oh, good. Oh, my God. That would be stressful.
I got, like, the email today of, like, all right. Then I had to, like, send them my, like, routing and banking number, so now I'm just, like, going to check my account every 5 minutes until it's actually in my bank account. Yeah.
That's it.
So there you go.
Stressful.
I'll get a little money back. There you go. So I actually do need to rush to work.
I love you.
I'm working tonight, and then I love you, too. And watch the gosh darn finale.
I'm so sorry.
I can't believe it.
I'm insane. Okay, I will.
We'll talk about it next week. All right, bye everyone.
Bye guys. I love you, Mike.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. Kids learn things. Children will listen. You know, like you, it's definitely a matter of like.
Can you sing that for me?
Just right now?
Yeah.
Now I'm super shy all of a sudden.
Don't be shy.